Hi, dear listeners. Just want to give a really quick content warning for graphic physical violence and animal cruelty for this episode. If that's too much for you, go ahead, really quick, check out our stops. Most of it's going to be fade to black, but just in case, this might be an episode you want to skip, and we totally understand. We'll see you soon.
Luke leans over to Jessejune. Jessejune.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't understand anything that has happened at all today. None of it makes any damn sense, Luke.
Do you ever feel like sort of superfluous? Dump him. We're good.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, like, drop him next to the guy with the thumbtacks.
Welcome to Reddington. Please observe local leash ordinances when walking your eldritch horrors in public places. When last we checked in on FlurgyQuest, our heroes had made their way into the woods to try to find the secret lab that Cece hoped would lead to Flurgy. How is that going again, Nihlus?
So Nihlus kind of comes to for a second, but he has this vacant look to vacant expression. You could see, like, he's kind of starting to look around and respond slightly, but he is, you can tell very much he is seeing something else. And from his perspective, as he looks around, trees are burning, ash is settling, can tell that it's midday. There is a speck of the sun in the sky, but it's so dark. Like, it is almost impossible to see between the ash coming down and this dark sky with just this pinprick of a sun. There is intense lightning on the horizon. I think he gets up and he can tell there's people around him. And so, like, Luke being the closest, he grabs Luke, without realizing it's Luke, and kind of drags him off to the side and is hurriedly, like, puts him behind a tree that seems, from Luke's perspective, is an arbitrary tree. From Nihlus's perspective, he's trying to put something between this person and the danger on the horizon. And then he runs to the next person and does that. And for each one of you, he just kind of runs over with this look. You can tell he does not see you, but he does know there's someone there and is trying to arrange you all from his perspective and with something between you and the danger. He goes, Luke, and then maybe grabs Jessejune and is maybe heading towards Johnny when he just stops dead and turns. And there's just this breaking of trees in his perspective, ripping along from the horizon where there's this lightning, where there's this looming silhouette. From there's just this rush of air and fire and smoke and cinder, with the faintest silhouette of a hooded individual in the center of it that just crashes into Nihlus. And at that point, he is not back to his senses, but he is back seeing all of you. But at the same time he's seeing you, he is kind of thrown backwards, and you can see smoke kind of coming from his clothing and charred bits of skin on his hands. And he is kind of smoldering a little bit and in a lot of pain and definitely screaming.
Johnny stands between Nihlus and Cece, and Nihlus was sort of heading our way anyway. And Johnny just looks at him and says, okay, whoa, wait, what the fuck? Everybody stop whatever the fuck they're doing. He takes his jacket off and runs over to Nihlus and starts trying to, like, pat him out.
Yeah, Luke's also over there trying to put out whatever fucking fire is.
Jessa went full werewolf. So she's up and fuzzy and claws out and teeth bared. Not that she can see an enemy, obviously, but her assumption is that something is there doing this to Nihlus and something, there's going to be a fight.
Cece has backed away from all of this up against the tree where they found Flurgy's fur and is just really afraid that maybe they did something.
Yeah, just, like, trying to pat out the fire. Like, Nihlus, are you okay? Nihlus, wake up!
Once Johnny gets all of the hot spots put out with his jacket, he throws it back on and he pulls the tiger balm back out and he puts it under Nihilus's nose to use as a smelling salt.
That's when Jessa June hears the rumbling of a truck approaching.
She bolts.
Luke puts Nihilus down carefully, given that Johnny is helping him, and turns into a wolf and also bolts after Jessa, because fuck no is he leaving her by herself.
Cece is terrified and turns into a flurgy, and actually runs up and tries to protect Nihilus's body from whatever is coming.
Johnny will reach up and give like a reassuring scritch to the ribs of the flurgy.
Jess is going for the truck.
Administering the smelling salts to Nihilus and sort of looking around for where the wolves all ran off to. And Johnny's begun just muttering to himself like, fucking shit house, god damn it, it's never just walk in the fucking woods.
Did you know that tigers can rotate their ears like radar dishes to focus in on sounds coming from a particular direction? When Cece does this to try to find out where Jessa June and Luke have run off to, they can also hear the approaching automobile.
So hearing that, I would at least sort of understand what they probably ran off towards. Would actually restrain themselves and not run themselves. Nihilus is awake, right?
Kind of screaming, a little bit dazed, but he is kind of present again, especially with the tiger bomb.
Then as Flurgy, I would take the chance that spell you were using was still working and just say, there's a truck coming. The two of you might want to jump on me in case we need to run.
Let's see what the Greeley siblings have gotten themselves into.
Jessa June, what is this?
I don't know what this is, but it can't be good if it's just driving around out here in the middle of the woods when all that just happened. So she's going to stand in front of the truck as a werewolf.
And Luke is going to let her do this because Jessa June is an adult and can make her own choices, but he is ready to grab her and go.
If you ever find yourself, dear listener, in a game of chicken with a werewolf, even if you believe yourself to be at an advantage, say, behind the wheel of a truck, I have a word of advice for you. Always let the werewolf win. As the truck driver bears down on steely Jessa June, he learns this lesson the hard way. As soon as the truck comes within her reach, Jessa June firmly plants her feet, reaches out, and grabs onto its unicorn catcher and redirects its momentum into a nearby tree. The resulting crash echoes through the woods.
Johnny looks down at Nihilus. He's like, can you walk?
I'll be okay. Go help them.
Get up on Cece. We're not leaving you here by yourself while all this shit's happening. Cece, can you handle him?
Mm-hmm. And Cece nods and also loves that he calls her Cece. And so actually licks Johnny a little bit and sort of shoves him off with her head down towards everything.
Baller, let's shag ass, kitty cat.
and therefore head bumps his back. Actually. And shows him down the road. And then we'll be sort of back at base and getting Nihilus on their back. So
yeah, Johnny's cooking towards the sound of trouble, and leaves Nihilus in Cece's capable paws.
Not only can Jessa June make out at least one person in the truck's cab, but she can smell an unpleasant odor from its cargo mixing with the smoke from its engine.
The truck is stopped and smoking, and Jess is in a mood. So Jess's inclination would actually be to go to the truck and, like, rip the door off, you know, just to make even more of an impression and see whether they're alive or not. And we won't talk about what her hopes are.
As Jessa rips the door off and finds the driver injured but alive, she is shocked to also find a passenger with a cattle prod at the ready. And he does not hesitate to use it on her, knocking the werewolf away with a sharp zap.
Fuck, Luke's running over there to probably try and attack the person with the cattle prod?
The passenger bolts, but trying to elude Luke is a lost cause. Before his target can find purchase with the prod, Luke grabs it with both hands. His quarry trades the cattle prod for an opening to elbow Luke in the face and busts his nose before darting away again.
Don't fucking cattle prod. Jessa.
Once she stopped being electrocuted, we'll have fallen out of the way of the truck, obviously, but now she's in an even better mood. So she's gonna try to get back up, and otherwise we're having pulled pork for dinner.
I think Luke is focused on this guy who was hurting his sister, and is probably in the way a little bit, yes.
All right, Johnny showed up, his two werewolf pals, getting a little bossed around by Captain Krav Maga over here. What's this guy dressed like?
Fit check. The Greeley's assailant is in good chic, skinny black jeans, and a black long-sleeved turtleneck with stylish boots that are more suited to standing around than fighting werewolves in the woods.
Johnny's kind of seeing red as soon as he sees this person dressed in that way. And Johnny is going to run towards him and baseball slide just as I get to him so I can swing and hit him square in his kneecap with my crowbar. Because what I have planned works better if I have both of them. Swing. Johnny hits the knee. And as his knee curls up in his natural reaction, Johnny's going to stand up out of his baseball slide and grab his ankle and pull him to make sure that he falls down.
Still tending to Nihlus, Cece's tactical hearing picks up all of this.
I think Nihlus is kind of back with it at this point and just in a lot of pain. That was a lot. That was a lot, I gotta say. Cece, though, you're quite a looker. There's a lot to see there. That's...
Cece doesn't know what to do with that and sort of is padding around like an anxious, giant, green tiger with tusks. Doesn't know what to do, so sort of backs up, is thinking about transforming into themselves, but... Cece in human form is just not as strong as a Flurgy. At first, they would, you know, snarl, which would sound like saying in Flurg. You know, are you all right? What do you want to do? Should we run or what do you want?
Unfortunately, with everything Nihlus has just been through, his spells have dropped, leaving him unable to comprehend Cece.
I'm not sure if that was a happy sound or a sad sound. All I got was kind of a grumbly sound. Sorry. Again, hopefully not angry.
No. Okay, so Cece, like... turns back into themselves and says, okay, you don't understand me, right? You understand me now.
Nihlus, like, looks away when they start to change.
They are themselves. They would notice that Nihlus is looking away and not quite sure what to do with that, but, you know, sort of, do you want to run away? What do you need?
So on hearing a human voice, Nihlus would turn back and say, I'm sorry, that was a lot last time, and I just didn't want to trigger that again, but I don't think I will. I think it was because my third eye was open anyway, and I saw things maybe I shouldn't have that was just kind of hard for the brain, but no, I don't want to run away. I think I want to make sure people are okay, and I think
Cece would go up to Nihlus and sort of like with hands out, not quite touching them because they're probably burnt. Or smoldering or something. Otherwise, they would grab Nihlus by the shoulders. FYI, however tall Nihlus is right now, that's Cece's height. Because they want to be on a level.
Well, Nihlus is on the ground right now, so...
anyway, so going up would take your shoulders. But then remembers it, what happened. There's been a lot going on. And hesitates and says, did I know I was transforming a lot. Did I throw you back? What happened? Is this me?
I'm honestly not sure. I saw something at first, but then that caused some pain, but then I don't know what that led to from there. I don't think that's as important right now as going and making sure everybody else is okay. I whatever it is, it's past. We can deal with it later.
I don't think you're in any situation to go and help people.
I mean,
can you
I'm
even
breathing.
Sit up?
I'm breathing. That's a situation
breathing.
To help people. That's all I need to
sit up. Sit. Can you sit up?
I guess I could. Look.
No, you can't.
Sitting up, and now and standing. And standing. There we
How
go.
How wobbly is Nihilus?
I think it's more pain than out of balance.
We should probably check on Jess and Jude too.
Jess is mad. I mean, she's still mad. She doesn't look real good. I mean, she's not the steadiest on her feet. And really her current focus is trying to get to the guy behind the wheel. Fortunately, I think Luke is probably in the way, but she's got tunnel vision at the moment and doing her best to get around through Luke to get a hand on that guy.
Jessa June, what are you doing?
She will actually like take a step back. The ears go back. And you watch her like refocus, like break that intent to do more harm. And she will probably downshift. So she'll go back to Jessa, which means she looks even worse than she did in werewolf form. And she's like, I want them dead, Luke. Do you see what they did? These guys are bad. They don't need to see tomorrow.
Now, Jessa, I wasn't with you when you went to that lab. I believe you that they need to be handled, but we don't know where Cece's friend Flurgy is, so maybe we should keep them around to deal with that for the moment.
All right. Yeah, you're right. I know you're right. I just... Ow, you know?
Yes, do you need help, Jessa June? Because if I return you back home looking like this, it is my ass that will be on the line.
No, I'll take care of it. It's okay. I got it. She will concentrate for a minute, close her eyes, and kind of grit her teeth. The majority of the nasty wounds that are on her will just sort of disappear. And she's back to looking slightly bruised and scraped, but nowhere near as bad as she did a minute ago. And she says, okay, there. See, I got it taken care of, Luke.
All right.
Hopefully, by the time we get back, Daddy will be distracted and we don't have to deal with it.
All right. I know, Jessa June, I know you got it handled, but I'm here if you need help.
I know. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done so far and what we're probably going to have to do now.
Now let's go talk to this fella who, it looks like Johnny just took out both of his kneecaps. That is amazing. But let's go talk to this fella.
While all y'all are doing that, so this security guard has found himself suddenly face down in the ground with a shattered kneecap. Johnny comes over and grabs him by the hair and kind of holds his head up and points his face at the whole exchange that's going on with Jessa and Luke. And Johnny goes, you see that? He was going to let her eat your fucking friend. So here's how this is going to go down. Every time you lie to me, I feed you to a werewolf once. Does that sound like a cool plan?
You guys fucking ran us into a tree? Then you just like shattered my knee? Dude, I have a tennis match next week. It's the playoffs. You fucking crushed my leg and now you're threatening to feed me to werewolves? What the fuck?
God damn it, I swore I would never quote Jim Mora, but playoffs? You're talking about playoffs right now? You don't think that you have...
Well, shit. Yeah.
Jess is gonna come over to where Johnny and Dude are having their conversation. Be like, maybe you want to answer the question.
The chic goon tries to stand back up, but as he puts weight on his knee, he falls over again, rolling around in pain.
Okay, fine. What do you want to know?
Question one. What are you doing out here?
Wait a second. I know you guys. Why do I know you guys?
Why do you know us guys?
Jessica kind of looks at Johnny and goes, you were reminding me, remember the smoke, the gas, all that? You don't think he's dumb enough. I mean, you're not stupid enough to tell us that you were there, are you?
You guys are the ones that destroyed the slime beast.
Jessica goes, okay, I was wrong. You are that stupid.
You guys set us back weeks. Weeks! That's the second location we had to get rid of.
So you're the baby stealers?
These guys are the ones that had the kids. And the lab. And the ones that tried to, I don't know, knock us out, kill us. I don't know what they did, but they let that gas go. And this idiot just said so. Luke, are you sure I can't just... Duh.
Yes, June, I reckon that Johnny can feed these fellas to werewolves after we find out what's happening
right after,
here. And maybe after we find out what their new location might after. Be.
Yeah, what do you got going on here? Is this a truck full of more babies you stole? You baby stealer?
We didn't steal any babies. What the fuck are you talking about?
You didn't take any children with your little gloppy pals.
Children are different than babies.
Those weren't a bunch of kids.
I'm sorry. Have you tried to kidnap a baby? You fucking have diapers. And you have to feed them, like, every 3 hours or something? Ugh. I mean, seriously, come on.
Remember that noxious odor from earlier? Jessa June does now, too, as slime starts to squeeze out of the cracks in the crashed box truck.
Guys, we got a problem. They are not carrying babies. They got more of those nasty little slime things in the back of the truck, and we need to do something about those, because that's going to hurt, too.
Johnny grabs him by his collar and says, if these are yours, call them off now.
Sorry, no.
And with that, he hits a button on the key fob and releases the locks on the back of the truck. The news is not much better for Nihlus and Cece, who happen upon a gaggle of slime beasties while trying to catch up with their compatriots.
All of a sudden, Alistair just starts bumping Nihlus in the back repeatedly. What, Alistair? And so he's turning back to kind of look over his shoulder at Alistair and sees these slime monsters. That's not what you're looking for, right? CC. That's probably not a good thing.
What? So CC like, would look where Nihlus is pointing and sees these gloppy things coming at, and with everything so bad, they panic real quick. They grab Nihlus's hand. They look at them and they say, "Hold on," and. They transform them both into ravens and whirl off up into the trees and you know, aiming for wherever the truck was. But we are both ravens at the moment. And while I cannot hold your raven hand, there's a drawing of you with me. It'd be very difficult for you to fly anywhere but where I'm flying.
We're very far away from the ground, and all of a sudden they're over there, and I'm confused what's going on.
Shut up and fly. Enjoy. Do you feel the wind?
I feel the wind. I'm weirdly nudging
your tail feathers with my head, trying to get you to.
I feel wind in very weird places on very weird things I don't normally have. This is.
Yes. Shut up. You're a raving Mazel Tov. Cece's a little dizzy and a little strong, and trying to. I mean, how are you flying? Are you doing okay?
As he stammers out his hesitation, the compulsion to follow Cece takes hold, and he takes off behind Cece, flying back towards the fight at the truck.
Two shops, both alike in dignity, in fair Reddington, where we hold this event. From old romance to new divorce proceedings, where common law makes civil matters everyone's problem, apparently. Next Saturday at 7 p.m. Reddington Standard Time, to thine own shelf be true, and a prose by any other name, will both be hosting a monthly book club. After the original shop, Strange Red Fellows, was divided between the two owners, both have decided to maintain the same events calendar, separately. This month, they will be discussing Charlotte Lovelace's newest releases, Swamped at Work and Beast in Show. Swamped at Work returns us to the town of Great Delta, Louisiana, in a sequel to The Desk Bayou, where our lovelorn swamp monster, Frank Belgium, is still trying to convince his partner, Hawthorne Gray, everything is better down where it's wetter. While Beast in Show asks us, can love truly take it all home when your two shifters mistakenly entered in a dog show? I'm sure that's something we can all relate to. These and other books by Lovelace can be purchased at both stores. A select number of signed copies will be available the night of. And as always, light refreshments will be provided by All Beans Coffee Shop for everyone attending. As a reminder, the Reddington Business Advisory Board wants you to support whichever business best suits your needs, and not which side of the split you think is right. Even if we all know who that is. So if you're a fan of Charlotte Lovelace, be sure to stop in to talk about the latest monstrous lovers we wish were lurking in our closets.
Yes, June, these slime things you dealt with before.
Yes. And they will burn you, they will grab you and, like, suck in around you. I mean, they'll try to eat you, and then they'll burn you while they're dirt, or burn you, shock you, something, it hurt. And, yeah, they're not good.
They're not, no, I would assume not. They do this sort of indiscriminately, yes?
Well, I'm not exactly sure if it's indiscriminate. I mean, I think they kind of think. It's not like they're just on a path and they go, they kind of know what they're doing, they do it on purpose, so.
They certainly follow orders.
They do.
Then I would assume that your friend here would not get burnt or eaten by them, perhaps?
Well, we could try throwing him at one and see what happens.
I was thinking human shield, but we could also throw him. I would sort of like to see Johnny throw a man into a slime monster.
No, 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 no. This guy's coming with us because I have so many things to talk to him about.
That's all right. I'll go get the other
right.
one then.
Human shields all around.
Let's get out of here. Jessa, these are your woods. Where's there running water around here? A stream, a river, anything. If we can get between that and these things, we're okay.
That's true. Water, well, we think anyway, but give me a second. And Jessa will take a minute to like, to look around, take a couple deep breaths, and see if she can figure out where the nearest body of water might be. River, creek, whatever.
As Jessa June orients herself to find the nearest stream, Nihlus and Cece align upon the rest of the group, and unfortunately, an unnoticed ember still smoldering in Nihlus's plumage, stoked by the winds during his flight, reignites, leaving him ablaze. To make matters worse, as Cece tries to land, a slimy hand reaches out from a tree and grabs her leg. On the bright side, Luke and Johnny's human shield strategy seems to be working.
My guy's got a bum leg, so I quickly search his person. I find his either metal handcuffs or zip ties or whatever they give security guards these days. And I put those on him so that he's not grabbing anything. And I sort of keep him to the outside of me so that if any slimes are approaching, they approach him first. And if they get him, I don't really care about it. Like, if they shock him a bunch, that's fine. But the idea, Johnny thinks they'll probably keep away from him. And then in the other hand, he's got his crowbar, and he'll keep them off the interior of them as they're sort of moving in.
And I think seeing this, Luke has gone to grab the unconscious one, and brought him back. And I think Luke shoves this guy at Jessa and is like, look at what Johnny's doing. Keep this person between you and the slime monsters, I guess. At the very least, you can run faster than an unconscious person. Here you go. Worst comes to worst, you can throw him down and let the slime monsters eat him and you get away.
But Jessa will take, will like nod her hand in his, in the unconscious guy's shirt and go, but what are you gonna use? I mean, there's a, you know, we can go to that creek that's like, I don't know, half a mile away that way. And if we get that between us and the rest of the slime, we should be okay. But what are you going to use if one of them comes after you? I mean, you sure you don't want this guy?
You hold him. We'll get to the creek and I'm going to be just fine. I'll stay near you and Johnny.
All right.
As Nihilus's burning body plummets, Cece feels the slime spread up their leg and begin to engulf them and harden. With no other option, Cece pulls the power they lent to Nihilus back, and the free-falling chef morphs back into a human.
I sort of grab everything as much as I could from Nihilus. You know, if taking anything back, maybe tries to become a little bit bigger as a raven.
Nihilus would be aware of that being pulled back and kind of following it along and seeing, as he's tumbling through the air, seeing Cece, like, being kind of consumed by this slime monster.
Alas, as well, I think if things are starting to calcify on me and whatnot, that is probably quickly. They're trying to flap away and they're getting caught in some weird raven pose.
Imagine, dear listener, that the Weathers Girls classic, It's Raining Men, begins to play as Luke Greeley glances up towards the sky. A bright flash of light erupts above him, growing larger and more distinctly human with each passing moment. He knows what he must do. Luke lines himself up, digs in his heels, and holds out his arms to catch Nihilus before he can crash into the ground.
Luke catches him.
What in the world happened to you?
Did you just fall out of the sky?
Nihilus, what the hell?
Cece, we're walking and slime monsters and I was a bird and then I was on fire and then I was falling and now I'm here and ow.
We are decidedly.
Where is Cece?
Yes.
Is not here?
Nihilus is like looking around, like from Luke's arms. I
don't know. We were together and.
Jessica's, Cece? Cece, where are you hiding?
With Jessa June's attention turned its way, the slime beastie beats a hasty retreat with Cece in tow.
There's a tarry raven being pulled down through the trees now to wherever it's going.
Johnny's at least going to look up to where Nihilus fell from, and maybe, just maybe, by pure fucking accident, he'll be able to see what's going on up there.
Johnny and the others turned their attention to the slime beasties to find them in retreat.
So Jess's got unconscious dude in one hand. She's, Nihilus just fell out of the sky.
We're all three of us are holding the dude, but different types of dudes.
We don't, right. We don't know, and Cece is nowhere to be found, and the slimes are moving away. Great. Perfect.
Luke, put me down. Put me down. Please,
yeah.
Hurry.
If they've caught something, Luke, and they're moving, then that's very, very bad news for you.
It's even worse for you.
Let me explain why. Because I don't need you anymore. I don't need you to tell me where they're going. I can just follow them. So, Johnny shoves the guy down to the ground, reaches into his right pocket, undoes the drawstring on his black bag, and spills out onto the ground 3,000 thumbtacks.
Luke, can you set me down, please?
Yes.
Johnny is then going to pick the guy up, lay him across his shoulders, and say goodnight, and then drop him headfirst into a pile of thumbtacks. Underneath someone who goes through something like this, you would normally expect to find a pool of blood, or even in the places where the thumbtacks are sticking out of his head, face, and shoulders, that he would be bleeding. But there is no blood anywhere. In fact, the thumbtacks are just absorbing all of the blood that is coming out of his body. And as this guy is sitting sort of in shock, in the shock of having a ton of thumbtacks put into his face, and maybe he's now making the mistake of trying to pull one out and realizing, oh, it actually hurts worse when they come out than it does when it goes in. At least going in, it's all at once. But now I have to keep doing this? Oh my god. And as he's sitting there shaking, Johnny's going to crouch down and look at him and say, I told you what was going to happen to you. I told you that I was going to feed you to them. And now I am. They'll come back to this bag when they have picked your fucking bones clean. Now suffer. And Johnny goes to follow where the slimes are going to figure out where they're heading. He doesn't need this guy anymore.
The narrator was too stunned to speak.
So as Nihilus is also is pleading for Luke to put him down.
Yes, Luke puts him down.
Once he does, he like immediately drops to the ground and like dumps his bag out and starts rummaging through it and grabs some snacks and a bag, a piping bag with some frosting in it. And like it begins drawing out like sacred geometry on the ground with the frosting. Like as fast as he can in this panic state, like just going as quick as he can. And he's got like, he puts this little offering in the center of it. And then says, hey, Alistair, I need a quick hand. And it kind of slaps the ground in front of it right at the same time as Alistair, like kind of is just catching up and streaking down as this like little blue ball of light slams into it. This paw just like comes up out of the ground through the icing and like slams to one side and then on either side. And then just the bunch of tentacles come up as the face comes out. Kind of like tiger sized, hound like, abyssal creature. And then it looks down at the offering and Nihilus like nudges it forward and says, I know you're very busy. I hate to bother you, but I have a friend who could really use some help. And this is what I can give you right now. I can offer some more later, but this is what I have now. Or they're being taken. I don't know where. Can you please? And he's like, they were holding my shoulder. You can get a good sniff here. So it's just like a whole bunch of tentacles just like glob down over half of Nihilus. Like, and it's like, okay. And please hurry.
Luke leans over to Jesse June. Jesse June.
I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't understand anything that has happened at all today. None of it makes any damn sense, Luke.
Do you ever feel like sort of superfluous? Dump him.
I'm just gonna like drop him next to the guy with the thumbtacks all over him. She's just dropping him. She's like, if you tell Daddy I said this, I don't know what the hell that thing is that Nihilus just pulled out of the ground, but if it's going after Cece, I guess we gotta follow it. Eat us. I don't know. All right. Let's go.
They all just like extend and like a tentacle for each person rather than going person to person, like a tentacle just like shoots over to each one.
Jess is like, if it sniffs her, she's gonna be like, fine, sniff me, then get away from me.
Giving everyone a cursory sniff? Is that what it means when its tentacles waggle? You know what? It doesn't matter. Content that its quarry isn't here, the beast takes off in the same direction the slime beasties fled.
We're all following, I guess.
I'm gonna take off after it.
Yeah.
The trail leads to the bank of the same creek Jessa June mentioned earlier, but there is no sign of the slimes.
This has got to be another one of those portal things.
There's gotta be a doorway here somewhere.
Is the hellhound stopped?
It has, and with a short growl at the water, it departs.
And then it just like takes two bounds forward and like jumps up into the air and then just like straight into the ground, but like into just whoop.
It has done what it can to help right now, but it does lick everyone with a tentacle before it vanishes.
Oh, Jesus. Johnny, you remember how all the people that we were trying to find, everything stopped at the water? You don't think there's a doorway, like, through the water? Like, we gotta go in the water to get through the... I don't know how that would work, but, like...
It looks like that's... Tentacle Puppy is indicating here. So maybe if we try to open the door in that location, it'll work the same way it did in the shed. Pinhead back there said that they move facilities, so I know that the old door isn't going to work for this.
No, I know. Now we just got to remember how we did it. And I don't remember how we did it.
We came to one of the doors and we used magic.
We definitely used magic, yes.
We had something with us that was like, okay, this is a door. It was like redialing a phone.
So you star 69'd it?
Yeah, basically, sort of.
Didn't Nicola have a spell, though, that she did?
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't her spell. None of us were magic. It was just a spell that we had heard of.
No, we got it from Delilah.
I mean, if you're looking for magic, we do have Nihilus here. Like, listen, if anyone can open a portal to hell or a secret lab or anything, after seeing that.
That's true. You have a point. Yeah, I guess that's the thing, man. I mean,
so just like do any magic?
There should be a door. There should be a portal here somewhere that magic can open and we can get through it. Cause that's gotta be where the slimes and where the dog wants to dog.
Oh, what, it's Yogg.
Whatever. Anyway, the thing wants to go through. It's a what?
Yogg. His name's Yogg.
Okay. Where the Yogg wants to go. But there should be a doorway that we can get through if we can get it open that'll go maybe into this new lab. That's how we got into the other one. We went through a door.
Alright. I guess I'll take a look around, see what I can find. So Nihilus kind of plops down real quick and sits cross-legged and... Because I think normally he wouldn't have to prep very much to open his third eye, but it's been a rough day. I think he wants to be a little bit more centered before he just pops it open willy-nilly again. So he kind of takes a second to center himself.
Cece, meanwhile, finds themselves slime-free, still a raven, but in a cage that is not quite big enough for a human-sized person.
Okay, so... Yeah, I'm going to become an itty-bitty little ladybug.
As Cece turns into a ladybug and starts to wander around the cage, they start to feel the crackling of electricity running through the wires that form the cage.
It's like around the cage, like the wires itself are electrified. Well, and I can't get between them as a ladybug?
Stopping to take stock of their situation, Cece hears a familiar growl in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. It would be very dangerous.
Oh, okay, but forgive my mind, that makes sense, right? He is telepathic. So I've turned from a raven into a ladybug, and I would say that with the damages that I've been sustaining and the this and the that, and having part of me with around Nihilus and then sort of sucked back up and whatnot. The turning into the ladybug probably took a little bit anyway, a bit delicate. And then going towards feeling that electricity, realizing it's going to be bad, and then hearing Flurgy. The ladybug would sort of like up and down a little bit real quick. And then sort of turn. Normally I would turn into a glowworm or something to try to see better in the dark. But I probably shouldn't have turned into the ladybug right after everything to begin with. So kind of with my little legs turning around and trying to see if I could see Flurgy. Just in case Flurgy's face is like right up against the thing or something. I'd be able to see a big green face.
Cece accidentally flies up Flurgy's nose.
Yeah, that would be a danger.
I mean,
way
they
out,
do
though.
Sort of just bounce into things all the time, so.
But anyway, so it's going sort of it around in a circle on the ground, just seeing if they could see anything sort of out of hope, and a little too exhausted to do another change. and but knows because if they tried to speak out loud, it would sound like type thing, which is not in Flurg. And so instead, they try to think back as much as possible to wherever Flurgy is. Just say, "Where are you? Where am I?"
Coincidentally, "Where am I?" is not that far off of what kind of grounding questions Nihilus asks himself while meditating.
Nihilus is a little gun-shy right now about opening his third eye. So instead, he's just going to kind of at a more mundane level, kind of reach out to the kind of aura kind of level of thing and start feeling through for the connections that should not be there, because there should be a pretty notable interruption in the connection of how things should be, or at least where things should be, if we're talking a portal.
Testing his connections to his surroundings, Nihilus's attention falls on an area halfway across the creek where he finds the interruption he was looking for, a perfectly round circle of energy subtly domed over the passage it protects.
All right, yeah, there is kind of just a field in the middle of the stream, and I realize that sounds weird after I say it. Not a field like, you know, with butterflies and insects and stuff, but like a force field, like Star Trek style, I guess. I don't know. Kind of a column in the middle. I've seen better, but it'll do, unless we can, you know, just kind of pop it out real quick. And then, yeah, we should be able to kind of slip right on through.
You feel well enough to pull this off?
I mean, well enough with a friend in trouble. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Is there anything we can do to help you?
I mean, how good's your magic?
Doesn't exist.
All right. I guess I'll take a crack at it, and I guess we'll see what else we might need if we need it. So I think Nihilus kind of reaches out one hand forward with his eyes closed, kind of wiggling his fingers slightly to, you know, from the outside perspective, it's just he's wiggling his fingers. But what he's actually doing is kind of weaving his fingers through the kind of strands and connections that make up reality and existence. Particularly on the physical end, that part's a little easier to reach out to than the deeper levels. But so he kind of like twirls his fingers around those and gets a good handful and pulls it back from the force field. And basically what he's doing is kind of like creating a charge, like a negative charge when lightning strikes, as all the electrons kind of get pulled to one spot. So he's doing that, but with reality, and creating this minor void that when he kind of then just lets go, wants to correct itself, and this kind of missile of broken reality trying to fix itself, like just connects between himself and the force field.
As Nihilus's magic eldritch spooky projectile makes contact with the force field, there's a moment when it seems like the world hangs frozen. Then, with a crackle of energy, the water around the dome geysers upwards. As the spray settles, the group can see water funnel down the newly revealed manhole-sized opening.
I think so. There we go. That should about do it.
Are you okay, Nihilus? I mean, are you doing okay?
I'm fine. We should probably get in there.
Right. Yeah.
I'm fine. Okay. I have you guys. So.
All right. Well, let's go then. While we got the chance, let's go. Let's go.
As Johnny heads down, he wants to give a quick listen. Is the guy in the thumbtack still screaming, or has he finally succumbed?
Oh God! Oh God! No! No! No!
All right. That's deeply satisfying. And Johnny gets in the hole.
With the rest of the group making their way into the lab, we should check in with Cece.
I'm not really wandering the cage, because at this point, if Flurgy's talked to me, I was going in circles in whatever direction I am facing. If when Flurgy starts speaking to me, then I will stay still.
Where are you? Where am I?
After a pause, Flurgy telepathically growls.
Some kind. It smells very cleaning supplies, very human.
Cece sniffs, but as a ladybug, doesn't really help. Is it, just a curiosity, is this the same sort of smell? That's not the same sort of smell we had before. There weren't cleaning supplies, there was blood. I'm just trying to remember without going through, you know, transformations a bunch. So this is a different lab. How did they, when did they get you? Flurgy, what happened? What? Also, how do you recognize me? No, that's fair. I went through a couple of things. I guess that makes sense. What happened?
It looks like we've both been captured again. I thought you had gotten away.
I wasn't captured the first time, Flurg. How long have you been down here?
Since last I saw you.
They cut you that fast? It's been like over 6 months.
Cece can feel vibrations to their right as Flurgy shifts in his cage.
Okay, so, I think I fairly slowly become Cece-sized, judging to make sure that I've got enough headroom and things like that so that I don't start feeling panicked, you know? And probably could see a little bit better than a ladybug can. You know, so sort of hands and knees facing Flurgy. And does he look hurt? Is there blood on him? How does he look?
To Cece's surprise, he looks okay. There's no blood on him. He even looks like he's been recently bathed. But they do notice a bandage on one of his legs, the kind used after a doctor has taken some blood.
Oh. Cece feels a bit of prickle to sort of become pen, but holds it in because it has been a day. And because the thing is, like, they remember. He remembers being told about the experiments going on by Morgan and whatnot. And, I think, though, even without, like, even not desiring it, you know, like, the chest hair starts slowly coming in and whatnot, and the shoulders are broadening a bit. It's, you know, but trying to keep it in because I do not want to touch this cage. And he says, all right, Flurgy, is there anything else you can tell me? I think there are friends on the way, but who are they? What did you, anything, please tell me anything. We've tried to get you out.
Caught like an idiot. Stupid.
What have they been doing? Try to be specific. Last time, I don't think you were specific, Blurgs.
Just to me. They're taking blood. Every so often.
Just to you?
Just to me. Although, I'm fairly certain. I'm not alone in here. I mean, you are here now.
Who else do you think is here? What else have you smelled?
Some interesting creatures.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle and Alice Hart. And produced by Algie Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art, and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks to see what is going on in those labs. With where we've stopped, I want to reassure everyone listening and ask you to go check out our Reddington stops on our website for a list of our cast and crew's hard and soft stops in this podcast. We know that money is tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to this podcast. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Emily C.A. Snyder as C.C. Mark Penn Stratos,
Sarah Palmero as Jessa June Greeley,
Algie Todd as Luke Greeley,
Mick Wheaton
as Nihilus Wheeler, M.L. Earhart as the Righteous Johnny Wife.
And today's guests included Kendall King as Sheik Guard and Adam Blanford for Ad Read.